Hello to all the geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados. Mess5150 here with another MaliceCast Live. This is the podcast for all things nerd and tech, geek, comic books, film, movies, you name it, we talk about it. So thank you for coming and joining us on the cast. We have a lot of geeky goodness to talk about this week. This cast is brought to you by malice-corp.com. That is the website that all these wonderful geeks and nerds write for, and that's where this family has started from. So,
all family.
Yeah, if you guys want to check us out, please head over to malice-corp.com. If you are somebody that just loves everything in terms of geek and nerd and you would like to join the family of nerd, please, please, please reach out to us on malice-corp.com and let us know. We are always looking to expand. With that said, let's get into who's on the cast tonight. As always, you have myself, Mr. Mess5150, the host with not the mostest on the podcast.
Don't sell yourself short, man.
we have
more gray hairs.
We have Red Meepaw joining us in the chat as well. Welcome. And Marley's out there as well. Guys, sound off in the chat. Have fun talking about all the topics that we're going to be talking about. Also joining me on the cast, back after missing him, we have Icy Zorro joining us. Welcome, sir.
Oh, you missed me?
Oh, not really.
Some people did me, Sonic Vader. It's going to be
guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back?
I love it. Keep the adulation coming. I miss being on the cast, but I definitely enjoyed following the Twitch and then commenting when I could. Love you guys.
Oh, family. Oh. We're all going to tear up here today.
Also I was overcome by emotion.
Also, we won't get him back next week. Masonic Vader has joined us on the cast.
Good evening, everybody. And I'm just lying. We did miss Zorro. You could see his head swelling. I'm hoping it goes large enough where it blows up like Big Trouble in Little China.
It's not going to take much.
I thought you were going to say we missed him. Our aim was off. We also have our female persuasion back to the cast, who once again was not here last week, I believe. Super Hoobian Freak, welcome back to the cast.
Yay, I'm here. I think I left my voice in last week, though. What are you gonna do?
Well, we're glad to have you. And lastly, the coming from the other side of the country, Mr. Igor. Welcome to the cast.
And boy, are my arms tired.
There goes.
Thank you.
It was great knowing everyone. Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
All right. We're going to open up this cast how we normally open the cast, and it's just what you've been geeking out on. Please chime off in the chat room if there's stuff that you've been nerding out or geeking out on as well. And let's just have a little chit-chat and fun with talking about the stuff that we've been doing. I am finishing up. Like I said, I was on a Hobbit binge the other day, and I'm now on to Lord of the Rings, and I'm just going to finish
sounds
off
like
some
an
of these.
Addiction.
But I hadn't watched them in a while. The funny thing is, I didn't realize how much I had watched the film versions of Lord of the Rings to this point. It's been at least probably 2 or 3 years since I've watched one, and I was still able to recite almost every line that was going on in it. So
are you watching like the super extended versions, like the 4 hour long ones?
Heck yeah. That's the only ones I watch.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
well, he's watching The Hobbit because it's more of like a telling of his family history.
Exactly. It's like a family reunion for me. So,
sorry.
I hear next year they're taking the Hobbits to Isengard.
Is that a euphemism?
And Brad, welcome to the chat. Geeked out hard on Infinity War trailer, which we are going to be talking about because, yeah, it's hard not to geek out hard on that. So, two keywords in there. So, what have you guys been geeking out? Mr. Zorro, what have you been geeking out on?
Oh, man, I did so much nerdy stuff this week. I've been geeking out on a lot. I am now officially caught up on The Walking Dead comic books, which I think might actually be affecting my performance on The Walking Dead cast that we do, because now I know too much of what's coming, or theoretically. I recently made Legendary, on the South Park Phone Destroyer game. I'm currently ranked 5,356th in the world. In the world. What else? I started reading a bunch of old school comic books. I've been delving into the history of Deadpool, the original continuity. I started at his original appearance in New Mutants 98, and I've been working my way since then. So, yeah, all kinds of... I'm also catching up on Fear the Walking Dead, so...
Yeah, and if you haven't checked us out on Mondays for the Walking Dead cast, every Monday at 9 p.m., we do talk about the most recent episode of The Walking Dead, and that may carry on to Fear the Walking Dead after hearing the cast that's coming to season 4. So please hope so. Join us on Mondays to talk all things dead as well, and see how much Ice T Zorro knows about The Walking Dead universe as he reads these comics. There is a fantastic chat going on about blue milk and Star Wars things and vegan and chocolate chips. And if you're not here on Twitch live, you can't join the chat. So you should be here at 8 p.m. Fridays, every Friday, to come join the chat and geek out with us. If you're watching this on YouTube, then you can't see the chat at all. So you should come to Twitch anyways to come check us out and have some fun with us. Super, what have you been geeking out on? I know you've been under the weather, so I don't know how much.
Yeah, mostly just catching up. I'm almost done with Jessica Jones season 2. I have to rewatch a couple episodes because I fell asleep through them yesterday. Not because they were boring, but I was just that tired. I noticed one thing. I brought it up in the chat and I asked people, I was like, hey, is everyone caught up on Jessica Jones? Because I wanted to ask a question about it and I didn't want to spoil anything. And then I fell asleep, so I didn't get to ask my question. I thought it was really ironic just in the week that we've had that you've got the character of Hogarth and her battle with the ALS, and then Stephen Hawking, you know, just passed away. So I was like, oh, that's really sad timing to see these, you know, and it was just really ironic to have her struggling with that, with him passing away, but really good. Yeah, that's what he had. That's what he had. And he outlasted it by how many years?
50 or so.
Well, I think he was originally diagnosed, telling him that he'd only have like 2 or 3 years. Like,
yeah, when he was like 20, and he made it to 76.
Yeah. So, but anyways, I really like Jessica Jones season 2. I think it's. I mean, is it as good as the first one? Probably not, but it's still really good. It's still up there.
It's got to be better than Iron Fist, which is.
It's infinitely better than Iron Fist, and like I said in the chat channel, Jessica Jones season 2 takes a couple episodes to pick up the pace, but it finishes really strong.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I'll get into the rest of it. I'm only 3 episodes in right now, I think. So, what have you been geeking out on, Masonic Vader?
Oh, well, I have been geeking out on the fact that we had the trailer drop, a couple of them actually. And then also, Krypton starts up next week, which obviously Superman fan here, very excited to see that. It looks really good. The last trailer, they just put out a commercial. It looks like it's going to be an interesting twist, and I think it might bring a little bit more life to the planet that we only know that blew up a day after he was shipped out.
Yeah, that's I want to get your takes on that interesting twist. I'm assuming that you're thinking about eventually, after you watch a few episodes, throwing up a review on mouse-corp.com.
Maybe
give us the Superman fan take on it.
Yes, sir.
I'm a little worried that Team Jacob's in it. I'm a little worried about that.
I did not know that. Now I'm concerned.
I mean, I'll give it a shot, but I'm wondering.
Same team, Jacob, or
yeah. So okay.
Now I'm learning something. I'm not opening the can of worms because I don't want to try to take on two fronts with the people on the camera and the people on the chat, since I'm apparently the Superman fanboy.
You are.
Well, yes. Have you seen the flag that's behind you right now?
No, I haven't seen that. Oh, where did that come from? Wow, that's awesome.
Ah, yes. And lastly, on our cast, we have Igor. Igor, what have you been geeking out on?
Hey. Not Kirkman's TV, but I picked up his new comic book. Issue number 1 of Oblivion Song came out, and that's looking pretty special.
Kirkman's a fantastic writer. Yeah, I love everything that the guy puts his hands to. So
this one not only seems a bit like a cross between The Rapture and H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh, wow.
But apparently they've been working on it. He and his team have been working on it secretly for somewhere around a year already. So they're actually a year ahead just to make sure that it stays on time and they keep the pacing really good.
Yeah, I heard an interview with him on formerly the Nerdist podcast, now ID10T, where he was talking about how he started this one well in advance of actually releasing it. So they're so far ahead of schedule that he got to actually, like, when he was writing episode 6 or issue 6 or 7, he was like, hey, you know what? If I go back and rewrite a little bit at 1, I can tie stuff together better.
Okay.
That wouldn't hurt. Wouldn't hurt.
Sorry, there's still this fantastic conversation about now they're talking about ships of Kylo and Rey in the chat.
It's like we're not even here.
Yeah.
We're like the background music.
Well, here's the thing. We said this is the podcast for all things nerd. Doesn't mean that they have to talk about the nerd subjects we're talking about. They can talk about other nerd subjects in the chat. Yeah. You're fine to do that. Have fun.
And Brad, buddy, my prayers go with you. Godspeed.
It's like, I feel like right now the way that chat is going, it's like we're playing Metal Gear and they're about to change the radio station. We're the radio station.
Yeah.
Shows how entertaining we are. Let's get into the main topics for today's cast. Little side note on Super bringing up about the sad tragedy that happened this week. Before we get deep into the nerd news, I do want to start with a moment of silence for Stephen Hawking and his passing. Great, great mind. Terrible waste to see it lost. So, and even on the pop culture front of things, if you guys had any thoughts on Stephen Hawking or what his basically triumphs and mind meant to you, I'd love to hear from you if there was one like main thing that happened. I'm going to give mine and everybody's going to be like, this is really stupid and ridiculous, but it was his pop culture things, his references. The first notice I had of Stephen Hawking was from my dad. And it was because we were watching Star Trek: The Next Generation and Data was sitting on the holodeck with all the great minds of Earth's history. And Stephen Hawking was his first television appearance on something as himself sitting there with Einstein. And it was an awesome thing to see. And that's that. Every time I wanted to learn who is this man, what is he doing and stuff like that. And I was only, God, maybe 12, 10 years old at the time that it happened. So I had no idea who it was or anything, but my dad started telling me about who he was. And that just grew me into more wanting to find out more about him. That's mine. I know it's nothing scientific or anything like that.
But. No. Well, that's the whole thing for me. It's his sense of humor. The fact that he was able to keep his sense of humor. How many people like us would have just curled up in a ball, not fought, and not lasted till 76, diagnosed with a condition like that, especially back in the 60s when you had nothing. I mean, I'm not saying the 60s had nothing, but technology was not what it was now. But the fact that he still kept that sarcasm, he still kept a sense of humor. He was always making people laugh. That's not an easy thing to do when you're in a wheelchair, and not even in a wheelchair, just, you know, immobile essentially and only able to type. So I think more people should learn from that example and not be so uptight and grumpy all the time.
Yeah. It's definitely embracing what life has given you and exactly. Making the most of it.
Exactly. Amen to that.
I'd also like to point out the fact that he was somehow able to cheat on one of his wives while completely relegated to a wheelchair. How does that even happen? Damn, that dude was smart.
True.
Dang, crazy.
No, but in all honesty, he was one of the most brilliant minds in the world. And the irony of the fact that he had this amazing brain while having a crap body was not lost on anyone, I think. Mm-hmm. And he will be missed by not only the people that knew him, the people that knew of him, but generations to come, because mm-hmm. if he'd lived another 5 years, who knows how many more discoveries he would have made. The guy was the definition of the word genius.
Red Meat Pop made a fantastic comment in the chat. I feel like when Stephen Hawking died, one of the Earth's protectors is gone, which is
totally
is pretty cool. Yeah, I love that comment. So
especially because he was terrified of the concept of aliens.
Yeah. Did you have anything, Igor or Ken or Masonic Vader that you guys wanted to touch in on?
Well, to show the genius of how the man was, we've already talked enough of it, of his condition and everything, was the fact that he was still able to communicate in said condition. It just shows the genius of what you had there. I hope that when it's all said and done and everything kind of like falls to the side where it needs to, that he has some kind of a surprise or something for some kind of wealth of knowledge or something he's laid out. So in case when this happens, almost like a time capsule, I'm hoping we find something like that, because I wouldn't put it past him that he didn't do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. What about you, Igor?
Well, I wouldn't be doing my civic Igor duty if I didn't have fun comic book connections to make. One, the webcomic Atomic Robo, the adventures of of Thomas Edison's Atomic Man is terrific when it gets to said Atomic Man and Hawking meeting each other. I don't want to spoil it. But also thanks to Grant Morrison and his initial run on the Justice League of America, you find out that, oh, Batman didn't just have dirt on the Justice League. No, no. He had files on Professor Stephen Hawking as well. I don't want to spoil that either. Yeah. My favorite personal contribution, though, definitely has to be the fact that the theory of everything brought us so much, including the refinement of string theory, which has been huge for contemplating sci-fi. Yep. You know, parallel realities and the real universe itself.
Mm-hmm. Have any of you ever read any of his books? They're both brilliant, simple, and funny as hell. The Universe in a Nutshell, the Theory of Everything. His books were fantastic and made things like quantum physics accessible to every man.
I'm always afraid to read geniuses and smart people's books because I'm afraid my brain will melt out of my ear because I don't understand what's going on.
Okay. Well, then avoid The Elegant Universe by Brian Greene, but definitely read Stephen Hawking stuff.
Okay.
There is some stuff from Dr. Seuss, though, you might be interested in.
You know what? That goes over my head sometimes, too. All the places you'll go, I just can't figure it out.
Hop on. Who now? Pop? No.
Pop. What? Green, you want me to eat what?
It was found out earlier that a podcast DJ named Mest was arrested because he was hopping on his pop.
Oh, oh my God. That would be a hilarious.
The visual. No.
I think you have to be in Florida for that to happen.
Yeah. Luckily, I am.
And that starts with Florida Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Florida Man.
in latest news. Yeah. Okay. Let's get into the more lighthearted things and stuff. Some amazing stuff came out this week to dazzle our brains and our eyes in terms of movie trailers. So first and foremost, the most recent one that came out today was we got the final Infinity War trailer. And I need thoughts on what people think, because I was blown away.
Who has bets on who's going to outsnark who? Is it going to be Chris Pratt or is it going to be Robert Downey Jr.?
Oh God, just the
who
scene of
the Stark battle.
The two of them together was brilliant.
Yeah. I know, God, a little bit you saw. It was just hilarious. Well, we could actually plan something that's good, or we could go with your plan that's not so good. What are we going to do?
Which sucks.
Sucks.
So maybe I should plan it, because then it has a chance of being good. Downey Jr. Kind of goes, what?
Like, oh, I love it.
I loved the line when Spider-Man, when Peter Parker was talking to Dr. Strange, he's like, I'm Peter. He's like, I'm Dr. Strange. He's like, oh, we're using our fake names. I'm Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I love the lighthearted tone that's still showing in the trailer, because you know it's not going to be all lighthearted. I mean, did the trailer, was it good where it didn't give too much away, or did it seem like it was
perfect? In fact, the thing I really liked about it was the fact that you really got to see some action from Thanos, that you got to see all the universes engaging with each other. You got Gamora talking to Tony Stark. You have Star-Lord talking to Tony Stark. You've got this mix of stuff happening. I will tell you that I have a much better appreciation for Captain America since the movies have come out, since the original. I think Chris Evans is a phenomenal pick. Like, it was probably the right there with Tony Stark, the best casting. And the thing I like about it, the most about this movie, is the fact that he's coming back, and that little 2-second scene where he's holding the Infinity Gauntlet, like, just you can see him hold on to him, push him back, and Thanos' look on his face is like, "What the heck? How's this guy doing it?" Was just, that got me right there. I'm excited to see it.
Let's be clear: his head would easily be crushed by Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet.
Well, we'll see.
If it's full, but it's not full. It's not at full power.
Yeah,
well, fellas and gals.
At that point, it's got the blue and the red, which I believe is space and the.
Let's get our main comic book geek Igor to.
fellas and gals, you have no idea what we could be in store for. I don't know what we are in store for, but going off of the original, the best part, one of the best parts, maybe the best part in the whole freaking thing, and my favorite Captain America moment ever.
Yes.
Is when Cap faces down Thanos in the comic.
Yes.
Literally everyone except for Thanos and Cap is lying dead around them.
Yes.
And he's got the full powered Infinity Gauntlet. And Cap walks right up to him and says, "Your madness ends here."
Yes. Absolutely.
Nice. Hardcore. It was amazing.
And you could see you could see it in that 2 seconds, a look in Thanos' face and Captain America, Chris Evans' face. You could see that was the pinnacle point, I think, of the fight.
Mm-hmm. But like you were saying, my Masonic buddy, I really liked this trailer because it had good action shots, but that the other trailers had the action. And that was actually what was kind of turning me off to begin with. It looked like, it looks like Age of Ultron and Avengers again. I'll enjoy it, but is it that big a deal? But they were smart. With this trailer, they showed almost nothing but build-up. And they had several different scenes to pull that build-up from. And that made me go, oh. Ooh.
Well, and shortly before this cast started, I watched IGN has a fantastic breakdown of the trailer, calling out different scenes, what stones are available when, where things are, little Easter eggs and spoilers. Well, not really spoilers, but Easter eggs and context. I thought that was a fantastic trailer. It's not like I wasn't going to go see the movie anyway, but this really amped me up for it.
Yeah. Yeah. The only complaint I have on it is the overly CGI Iron Man outfit now when he's got the helmet off, because it's so thin now that you can't put anything on him. So it looked like super CGI to me when he was sitting there talking to Star-Lord. And I was like, that's almost on par with Green Lantern CGI outfit. So that was my only gripe and complaint about the trailer. I don't know if anybody else caught that.
I thought Spidey looked a little uncanny valley, and Tony was still just looking Tony, but that might be still the childhood imagery of, oh man, having an Iron Man suit would be so cool.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the booster when his freaking booster went together and that was awesome.
Which is a precursor of a suit from the comics. Mm-hmm. And then Spidey is wearing the mechanized suit that he turned down earlier.
Yeah, that's Iron Spider. Yeah,
yeah. And then the scene where we see the Hulkbuster, it's the theory is that that's not Tony in there; it's Bruce,
because
he doesn't want to Hulk out.
Yeah,
that would be fun.
Interesting.
Makes sense.
Though, I mean, this theory's galore right now because they did leave enough out of it, but I think on par. I give this trailer an AA+ for sure. I was super, super stoked by it.
I just hope that when it's all said and done, they're able to try to pull off what they originally thought they were going to do, which was Infinity Wars 1 and 2. I don't want them to kill off Thanos. I don't want them to just make it just one film. I'm really hoping they can drag it into a second film and then lead on to the next phase.
They could easily.
It's already being done.
You know what?
They were doing 1 and 2 originally, and then they canceled and said only one. So
originally it was supposed to be Infinity War 1 and 2, And then somehow they change it just to make it Infinity War. Now, you know they're going to do something afterwards, and they're going to go into the next phases. But I really want them to really drag this out another movie, because I really do think that's where a lot of times these epic movies fail, is that they try to nip it off and say, all right, we're done, and let's move on to the next stuff. If they could drag it on, do it to be continued almost in a sense, to lead into the next phases, because that's really what's going to make them help survive or to really just, I don't know, snuff out a lot of the competition and really break into the third and fourth phase.
The question, I don't
think there's any competition at this point.
I have one question about the Infinity War movie, and I can't put a finger on it of where it happened, if it happened. I can't recall it, but we see the one scene from the after credit scene from a few movies back where Thanos goes and gets the Infinity Gauntlet and puts his hand inside of it and picks it up.
I'm going to do it myself. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing about it is the last time we saw the Infinity Gauntlet, it was in Odin's chamber of items. And have we ever seen it taken from there?
No, actually, he walked through there and he said, that's a fake.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay. Yeah. Now I remember. Okay. Yeah.
And Loki stole the Tesseract from that same hall at the same time.
Okay. So that
which we see Thanos crushing in the trailer for the blue stone.
Thank you for refreshing me on that, because yeah, I couldn't remember where.
My one and only concern with this movie is there are so many characters. How are they possibly gonna, like, what's the screen time for everybody?
Yeah, let's see how fast people start dying. Maybe that's how they get around it.
Well, that's what they said for the first movie. How many? God, we got too many heroes in the first Avengers movie, yeah. And they still pulled it off.
And now we have so well paced.
Yeah, but now you have to remember, though, this is also the beginning of the end, if you want to call it, for phase one. Like, they've already said that they're trying to break or make the new Avengers with Ant-Man and Wasp, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. So this is the one where you're going to start seeing, I don't want to say dying off, but I haven't seen Hawkman in the movie yet, so in the trailer. So there's a potential that this is going to be where you start seeing less of the original characters and more of the newer, like Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, and the Guardians of the Galaxy and whatnot.
And then Polyfuse, welcome to the chat, says, from what I know, there are more than one Infinity Gauntlet. So I thought there was just one. Igor, have you ever seen more than one in the comics?
That might have been more modern.
Okay.
Cliff Notes version with me and Marvel after they retconned Spider-Man's marriage, I got pretty pissed off and stopped reading for years. But before that, I can say that Death of Thanos is a very interesting comment, because there are spoilers about the original comic here, so you are forewarned. But when you start reading at the very beginning of Infinity Gauntlet, you find out Thanos' love life might actually help him there. Well, quite literally.
Welcome, Friedine, to the chat as well. Thank you guys for coming and joining us.
And you better watch the chat there, Igor. We got Marley Ba and Red Meepaw plotting a Doctor Strange costume for you. She's going to be making one for you to model here on the chat. So let's be prepared.
And as always with comic book things and reference and stuff, if there's stories that you want to read or see or fill up your comic book collection, if there's gaps missing, make sure to check out our friends Turbo Comics in Idaho, the premier comic book shop. They're actually doing Bordertown Comics Convention this weekend in Oregon. Beacon, my regular co-host, will actually be there this week, and he was talking about some of the panels he's going to be going to. He's going to one where it's improv, and they're going to be talking to creators making a story, and they're going to draw pictures for the story right there on the spot to make the story. So, but it's mainly about creating, it's a true comic book convention focused on comic books, creating comic books, writing comic books. So for those that have a true love for comic books and not just pop culture, like what you get from WonderCon that I'll be at next week, or San Diego Comic-Con and stuff like that, go, and you're in the Oregon area, go check out Border Comics, comic convention. Check out Turbo Comics online, please.
Yeah, Turbo not only is one of the major sponsors, but that is, have you looked into it at all? It's probably the classiest comic book convention ever created. It's not. Wow. It's going on in a museum and Japanese garden. Literally, that's the location for it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
If they need someone to serve wine, I'll be there.
I wouldn't be surprised if they were. I mean, dang.
Possibly. Let's get on to the next movie that we were going to talk about trailer-wise. some people have seen it, some people haven't on it, so that's where we're going to get some interesting conversation about it. Yeah, we got the Fantastic Beasts 2 trailer that came out earlier this week. I, once again, super excited, thought it was a great trailer, and this, am I bad for saying that this actually looked better than a Harry Potter film to me?
It looks amazing. Visuals look gorgeous.
It looks fantastic. I mean, I'm a huge fan.
I see what you did there.
And Eddie Redmayne is one of my favorite actors, just overall. So I love it. I'm super excited for it. They're exploring, if they do explore the character of Grindelwald, one of my favorite characters that they didn't get to explore in the Harry Potter books, they brought him up as this, you know, notorious crime villain. Pal of Dumbledore's, you know, led Dumbledore down the dark side.
Not just pal.
Oh, well, no, we know that he wasn't just a pal, but that's another thing. Are they going to explore that in the movie? Are they not going to explore that in the movie? You know?
I would like to think so. There was the little section of the trailer where Dumbledore, Jude Law, which, by the way, fantastic casting for a young Dumbledore, he says to Newt, says, I can't face him. You're going to have to do it. Mm-hmm. And the subtext there is, this is my ex-boyfriend. I can't do it.
Sorry. You know. And in I was going to say, in the books, it's that same kind of subtext where it's like, it took how much for Dumbledore to actually get out there and face him. And it was literally when, I don't want to say the fate of the world, but the fate of wizardry, I guess you could say, in London was about to turn completely 180 degrees towards the dark side, and that's what got him out there and got him to face it. But you have to wonder, like, what else would have prevented him from doing that? Because he went up no problem facing Voldemort, he had no problem facing anybody else, but couldn't go fight this one guy. And that goes beyond being best friends. That goes, you know,
in the chat channel, Prydine69 says he's basically a magic Hitler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We've got the Red Meepaw is back into the conversation now, because she wasn't all into Infinity War, but she says Fantastic Beasts looks so good. and I like to see Jacob back. There is chemistry there. So the ship talk is already starting inside the chat room as well. So
I gotta say, as one who was not very interested in the first one, not because of the casting or anything like that, because holy crap, the casting for that and this,
oh yeah,
awesome. But because I was in the bookstore selling the dang things when Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them came out. Mm-hmm. It's like 80 pages long. Yeah, it's like 80 pages long.
But they made 3 movies out of The Hobbit, so.
And that worked out real well. But that was my other.
Hey, I just rewatched
my other hesitation. I'm sorry.
Yeah, why are you dumping on his family?
My other hesitation with Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them 2 was that even the most hardcore of Potter fans are super hoovy and is literally the very first one I've heard say anything about the plot from the first movie. Mm-hmm. Other than, well, it was there, and oh my goodness, wasn't so and so just so great? And I have literally heard no mention anywhere on the internet or around other people until just now. The story from the first one—I
forgot the story for the most part. That's that says a lot, because I like I said, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good movie when I watched it, but it didn't stick with me. This trailer looks like it's going to be a really, really good movie.
That's why I'm genuinely curious.
There's supposed to be 5 of them. And that first movie was essentially the introduction. And it was, I mean, the plot, if you don't remember, was, you know, Newt comes to New York and loses some of his creatures. And then everything goes nuts. And oh my God, all of a sudden Grindelwald's there. What?
Yeah.
And that took 2.5 hours. So
it's
enjoyable as it may have, as enjoyable as it may have been, it was an introduction to the previous world, the previous Potter world. And I think it was an entertaining one, but it wasn't great. But we've got 4 more movies to come. And if this trailer is any indication, it's going to be really well written. This one looks really engaging, and it's going to delve into lore and stuff that people that are a fan of the Potterverse are really going to enjoy.
Can I throw my two cents in? Since I want to
I want to get your thoughts on it because you haven't seen the first film.
Yeah, so I haven't seen the first film, and I've seen all the originals, and I've read the books. I think the thing I really appreciate about this, and you could see it, is that, yeah, there's a lot more going involved with these movies. You could see that there's going to be a lot more. The special effects are better, obviously. The years have passed on since the original Harry Potter, Chamber of Secrets. You're right, the casting. I said the same thing. Jude Law was a phenomenal cast for Dumbledore. Mm-hmm. I think what's going to make this movie series work a hell of a lot better is they're not going to be held or hand-tied to the fact that it's Harry Potter and every freaking kid loved it. Because when the books came out, kids loved Harry Potter. And so when they made the films, it didn't get to like the third movie when things started getting slightly dark, but it was only like 5 minutes of the movie. And it wasn't until the last movie where you got a good chunk of the darkness. And at that point, kids that originally saw the first movie, I don't know how many, but anyways, whatever. They were supposed to be, yeah, they broke it up. Anyways, the kids that saw the original movie were now old enough to understand what was going on. So now you've got this whole new series. I've never seen the first one, but just watching the trailer for this, you could definitely tell that the handcuffs are a little looser. You could see that they're actually going into something else, that they could be a little bit more freer about. They didn't talk about the relationship in the first movie, but you could definitely tell it's going to come around. And that's why I really will be seeing this, the first movie here probably next week. Cause now I have a little bit better appreciation. Cause I'll be perfectly frank. I didn't watch the first movie cause I was done with Harry Potter, but now I'm getting a little bit more of a like of what's going on and I'll check it out now.
Okay. That change in the tone and content is probably really well timed considering what's essentially the box office juggernauts is, well, the Marvel movies. Yeah. And even their tonality, you know, I'm one of those who grew up at a point where, oh yeah, the comics are for kids. And now what are we getting in the acclaimed and loved by everybody Avengers films alone? We're getting maiming. We're getting Black Widow was sterilized. It's not light. It's not light.
Because they're built to grow up with them.
So. Yeah, well, in the chat, Polyfuse says, it's no longer just a kid series. I would argue that the original Harry Potter series started getting more dark towards around Order of the Phoenix, like the fifth one.
Mm-hmm.
If not before.
Yeah.
But really, book four, the end, when he gets sucked into the graveyard and sees Cedric die in front of him and...
Yep.
You know,
but I remember thinking when the Harry Potter books and movies first were coming out, I thought this is kid stuff. I'm not bothering with that.
Well, J.K. has even said that
so wonderfully nuanced and adult themed towards the end.
J.K. Mm-hmm. has even said that she wrote it in with a hope of somebody growing up, starting as a child with the books and growing up with the books and getting a little bit more adult in nature as it went along. It
definitely did.
So,
definitely did.
And it's essentially, I mean, granted he said it wasn't a kid's book, but it's essentially what happened with Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. Hobbit was classified as a family kid's book and Lord of the Rings was that next step towards the next level of age.
Maturity.
Yeah.
And I definitely see there's a comparison between the two universes because they are both fully fleshed out universes.
Now, Grant,
they both have a rich backstory. You know, Tolkien has the Silmarillion telling you about all the history of that world. J.K. Rowling's Fantastic Beasts is one of them. But there were other books that were telling the backstory of all the stuff that had happened previous to the movies and the main books.
Like the Cursed Child and the.
Yeah,
which takes place after to continue the story, but yeah, I I'm not putting Tolkien on the same level, J.K. on the same level as Tolkien by any means. I'm just saying that was the same type of.
And I have to take a moment.
Don't get mad at me in the chat room. I know that's.
I think they're comparable. I really do.
Yeah.
In all honesty, when you compare the impact that they had, because look at Harry Potter. You were growing up at that point in time. You had a generation of kids that were drifting away from books. They were drifting towards the computers. They were drifting towards the video games. And you have this author that comes out with this series about magic, and she gets kids re-engaged with the book world. Now, maybe Tolkien didn't do that. Tolkien was from a time where you read or you didn't. You know, you had no other option. but she did get a whole generation again back into the book world. And that is, for today's day and age, that is something. So
I kind of want to read Polyphia's comment in the Hagrid accent, if I may. Little bastards hooked as kids, and you have customers for life, Ariel.
Yes.
Oh, he's not wrong. He's not wrong. Look at superheroes. Look at the freaking Transformers movies.
Red Meeple. Yeah,
you also have to remember one thing, man. Tolkien and the Hobbit movies were actually able to get Spock to sing about it, man. Let me tell you, that was the pinnacle.
True.
I literally hung out with the president of Hasbro Toys the other night, and he said, "Oh yeah, we knew that if we got kids hooked on Transformers movies, this brand would be totally revitalized."
Mm-hmm. Well, it does. It works. Things you grow up with are the things you appreciate. You know,
and Red Meat Pod does say that I'm wrong, that JK totally kicks Tolkien's butt.
Yeah, well, she's not a Tolkien.
Blasphemy.
Dude, she was homeless, man. She's a survivor.
Yeah, no.
And actually, as for Meepa as well, I don't know if you got it, Mr. Zorro, but I have to agree with her comment at you on missing a lot of good books and movies. If you think they're just for kids, everybody, for sure. I'm betting none of you have read The Neverending Story. Holy crap. You're the one I would have expected to.
That was required reading at my school. Thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly. I think we could talk about this forever. I think we could talk about this forever, but we have things to discuss, and we've got 20 minutes to get to them. So.
Oh, we got 20 minutes. Well, I got one little piece of fun trivia for you about the movie. For the original Fantastic Beasts, whatever. Eddie Redmayne was just given the part, right? He didn't even have to audition. She basically wrote it with him in mind. But there was a film that he was supposed to film shirtless, so he like worked out like hardcore. He's like, I'm going to have these abs. I'm going to look buff. And he did it, and he filmed
it. It wasn't Jupiter Rising, was it?
And then they cut it from the movie. So he did all that working out, all that stuff, and he was so disappointed when they saw the final edit and it wasn't even in there. And he was just like, oh, but my abs. Like, I'm so excited to show my abs. So
Sarah was disappointed that she didn't get to see his abs.
Eddie Redmayne's abs.
Would have been fun.
I didn't realize he had abs. I thought he was just a toothpick.
He didn't until they told him he was going to film shirtless. And then he's a
translucent Englishman. His abs are not included.
No. You see through the abs to the okay. That's where the spleen is. That's Magic
Mike 3. Maybe we'll see him as the English dude in Magic Mike 3. See his abs.
Let's get on to some comic book news. This is a fun thing to have. For the first time in quite a while, Fantastic Four, they in the comics are going to be getting new costumes, and I kind of wanted to get people's thoughts on what the costumes look like. And
crap, let's move on.
Crap. I agree with Masonic Vader. They're terrible.
Let's not spend the last 20 minutes on that. Let's find another topic. Can we talk about Harry Potter or something? Come on.
Come on. I don't want to picture him in spandex.
Oh, you didn't see Equus then.
That wasn't spandex.
I swear the green and white costumes look like a knockoff of the 80s Voltron group.
Oh, it's so bad.
Well, this is the only thing I wanted to get from everybody else in the chat and stuff. This is the costume. So yeah. They are quite interesting, but I wanted to get like, what are the worst comic book costumes of all time, or what are the best?
I'm going to quote a famous person on TV. By the name of Charles Barkley, terrible.
Terrible.
Just like his ball swing. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay, Ben looks a little stupid in the shorts.
Yeah. Ben looks terrible.
Terrible.
Johnny looks okay.
I like the jacket part. The jacket part's fun.
But... No.
Well, here's the thing.
It looks stupid.
When Mess first texted or communicated to us the possibility of this as a topic, he said, okay, the original blue or the white and black ones. Or the new ones. And I got to go original blue. White and black ones were guiding you straight to the crotch all the time. The new ones just look like security guard outfits. They're terrible.
I realized what they look like. The new ones look like the greeter at Walmart in the future.
Right?
I thought they looked like futuristic flight suits. I don't know. My favorite Fantastic Four version, though, was when they did Earth's
Mightiest Heroes on Cartoon Network, because they had fundamentally the same costumes, except a little bit of the of like a metal insignia. And Ben not only wore like full pants and boots, but would always paint a 4 on his chest. And I loved that. That was my favorite part.
Ben just looks stupid in the new one.
He's got, they look like biker shorts on Ben.
Yes. The shorts are a little awkward. The shorts are a little awkward.
You know, I just got done with my spin class. Now I'm going to go save the world. Well, and
correct me, Igor, this, correct me if this is a comic book thing or just a movie thing, but wasn't part of the whole original Blue the fact that that was material that went through the cosmic storm with them? So it was kind of, it would work with them, like with whatever mm-hmm. their powers were. So how can they change costumes? Isn't that stuff just like if Johnny blazes up, isn't that stuff just going to burn off?
Well, you know how the answer in DC Comics is, well, Batman planned for that, right? The answer in Marvel Comics is, well, Mr. Fantastic invented that.
Oh, well, Reed.
I mean, I'll put it to you this way. It just goes to show that, you know, like Thor is now a lady. And Fantastic Four has shitty costumes.
We're not very much longer. The Jane Foster story's about to end as Thor, so that's going to be changing. So
there is life in the world. Thank you.
Don't worry, Mr. Vitter.
Reminds me of mountain bike cops.
Is it just because Natalie Portman's invested in the Annihilation trilogy now?
Red Meatpaw says Black Panther's costume is awesome. Yeah, so
she's been doing a lot of ilf words lately. Dumbledore is a wilf, and apparently Black Panther is a sylph.
And welcome, Maku, to the chat. He said Reed Richards.
It's pronounced Richard.
And Molly Baugh just wants a good Fantastic Four movie before she dies. So
there's not going to be one. They can't do it.
I think we just all
want it's illegal.
I'm going to fire off three topics. You guys tell us what you say, what you guys want to talk. We can either talk about the new directors for New Gods and James Bond. We can talk about the Robo Bees from Walmart or we could talk about Andre the Giant documentary.
Andre Giant.
That one.
Okay. All right. So we have a documentary coming on HBO, correct, Igor?
Oh, yes. April 10th. April 10th. Yes,
and you guys watched the trailer for it?
Directly before this cast, in fact. And it looks amazing.
The first day it came out.
I have, like, you know, I know the layman's amount of knowledge about Andre the Giant. Big guy. He was a wrestler. He's in Princess Bride. Man, he could drink a lot. But watching the trailer for that, I was like, wow, this was a genuinely interesting dude. And the way that they put it in the trailer through flash, you know, cue cards, Andre the Man. Andre the Legend, Andre the Wrestler, Andre it looks like a genuinely interesting story, and I will definitely watch that.
Yeah, I have been a fan of wrestling since I was 6 years old, and my mom used to take me to the sports arena down in San Diego, and I touched the championship belt when Hulk Hogan was walking out. I've seen Jimmy Fly do the Superfly, but I've seen it all.
Snooker.
One of the most amazing things I ever saw was watching that guy just walk out. It's amazing. If you never got the chance to see him in real life, it's amazing how big this guy was. And for a person like me, because I am a pure wrestling fan, not real, but, you know, the stuff on TV. And I've really, over the years, really gone to appreciate not just the acting aspect of it, but just what they have to go through. Like, a lot of people don't realize that they spend – like 295 days on the road, and the rest of the time is with their family. And if you could imagine putting yourself in his shoes, being 7'3", weighing over 560 pounds.
470 was the one they called out in the trailer, but yeah.
Yeah, but he's been at 1.540, just a huge guy, and have to fit on planes, have to fit in cars, just walking around in life. It really makes you really appreciate what that man did for how many years he did do it.
Mm-hmm. And they kind of show the contrast between his size and everybody else's. There's pictures in that trailer of him sitting on a plane, and he had to have two seats, and he just, like, he's almost bumping his head on the overhead luggage compartment, or him sitting in a folding chair somewhere, and it just barely fits him. And God, that was a big dude. I'm really excited to see what his life was actually like. And I feel bad for the guy just having watched that.
Yeah, he had a rough time, and he made some rough decisions too. Go figure, famous guy.
Also, it took him 100.
Made a couple of those.
136 beers one night. Mm-hmm. That's it. He's an expensive date.
Well, there was a documentary from the people that were from Princess Bride talking about Andre too, and like he would go through like a case of wine a night. And it's just, yeah, he had some hard.
That's major 12 hardships. Bottles. Mm-hmm. A case of one is 12 bottles.
Yeah, he was. I also saw something where he was in so much pain that the part where he catches the princess, she was actually on wires because mm-hmm. she couldn't yes. hold her 120-pound frame.
Yeah, so, that's actually the same documentary. It's this one coming up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. what I was saying. It's just like I said, for everyone who hasn't watched wrestling since they were freaking a wee bit bigger than a freaking desk, it's really going to really show you the appreciation of one of the people that actually made it happen.
Yeah. So in a really big way.
Look forward to that. Oh, go ahead, Igor. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I highly recommend catching this because people love a good documentary, and this, and if HBO's TV quality for, you know, the recent years is any indication, this is going to be really solid. And you can even find other stuff like the comic book version of his life from IDW, which his daughter stamped the approval on. That was pretty dang interesting. And yeah, as you guys would have guessed, kind of sad too.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it. Cause yeah, I haven't watched in a lot of years, but much like Mr. Vader, I grew up watching the Hulk Hogan Saturday morning cartoon show.
Yes.
And absolutely. You better believe Andre was one of the main characters.
Mm-hmm. I had stickers on my dresser.
Junkyard Dog. Yeah, look forward to that coming out. If you guys want to find the IDW comic, as always, like I said, check out Turbo Comics, but another easy source is going to be Amazon. If you go to malice-corp.com, click on any of the Amazon links at the bottom of any of our articles and purchase through that on Amazon. You help us out. You still get your stuff. If you use Amazon Prime, you get it within 2 days on free shipping. And hey, if you have Amazon Prime, then you have Twitch Prime, which means that you can do a free sub every 30 days to the channel, and helps us out as well. So we greatly appreciate you guys doing that. Thank you so much for coming out on tonight's cast again. We will be back next Friday with a new face joining us for the day. One of the people from Turbo Comics will be on the cast next week. So come back to talk all things comics. I'm sure they have a lot of topics on comics they're going to talk about next week. Let's talk about where to follow everybody. Where can we follow you, Mr. Masonic Vader?
Oh, you can follow me on Twitter at Masonic Vader. You can follow me on PlayStation at Masonic Vader 71. And of course, you could read any of the articles I've done for Malice Cast or Malice Corp, excuse me, at malice-corp.com. Once again, thank you very much for letting me come on. I hope you guys enjoyed the cast.
Okay. What about you, Igor?
Well, still the proprietor, not the operator, got such a great group, including Ms. Marley Ba and Mr. Masonic Vader on Malice Corp on Destiny 2. And the free updates are making it even more fun. Come on by. We'd love to have you. And also, much like Mr. Mest was saying, please join me in catching up on the comic books. My suggestion would be pick up Infinity Gauntlet from Amazon, because that's the more expensive one. So get it from super cheap on Amazon. And pick up Andre the Giant, Closer to Heaven, from IDW, from our buddies over at Turbo Comics, because that's the more out-of-the-way obscure one, and they're really enthusiastic about helping you find stuff. And they ship anywhere in the world.
Nice.
Igor, you're going to need to find a social media handle where people can reach you, because you are my guide to comic books.
Yes.
I regret that I put one life to give to my country.
Super. His head is getting bigger.
Super, where can we follow you?
Oh, come follow me on Twitter at SuperHoovian, SuperHoovian Nut. And we're always having a good time over there. Got lots to say, lots of fun activities and chats. And sometimes it goes really weird. You know, you never know what you're going to be talking about. Now, one day you're talking about you know, saving trees in Nicaragua. The next day you're talking about rainbow jockstraps and herpy hiders. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
So,
a good time. Come join the party.
If that wasn't here, if that wasn't enough of an endorsement, I follow Super on Twitter, and she has so much interaction with celebrities, and there are truly strange conversations going on.
They are. This was a conversation with a, well, I mean, you can call him a celebrity. He's a celebrity. He does movies. He does TV shows. He's the one that brought up the rainbow jock straps, and he's the one that ran with it. So I was just like, all right, dude, you do you.
And we seem to be ending this cast at the right time because your voice is, it sounds like it's on the just, on the fritz.
Yep.
Yeah, it's
last legs.
Yeah, well, you can follow the
So if you didn't hear what she said, if you're hard of hearing, you can't hear and you can't turn up enough to hear, you can follow Super on Twitter at SuperHoovianNut. And it's a fun time, needless to be said.
For sure.
Where can we follow you, Zorro?
I'm at Icy Zorro on Twitter and Instagram. Most of my pictures are about wine stuff. Most of my tweets are random.
Rainbow color jock straps.
Yeah, herpy hiders. I don't know what that is, but I'm going to start tweeting about it.
And for me, you can follow me on Twitter at @mest_malicecorp. You can follow me on Instagram at @mest5150. That's where all the thumbnails for the podcast pop up, as well as on our actual Instagram at @malicecorp. They will pop up there as well. Make sure to check out the website. Any of our podcasts, they're all written right there. Malicecorp, Malicecast, Nerd Mosh Pit, Quest for Movies. Join all of our podcasts. They're all fun. We have fun doing all of them, and we like joining in with you guys and talking about the stuff. It is St. Paddy's this weekend, so if you're going to go check out somewhere to drink some brews, head over to Battle Mage in San Diego. It is a fantastic brewery that is filled with all types of geeky, nerdy stuff.
Also, Uber or designated driver, be safe out there. St. Paddy's is amateur night. Don't be one of the fools.
Nope.
And Beacon has joined us in the chat room, just came back from seeing Tomb Raider. You will get all types of tidbits about Tomb Raider, on Quest for 100, Episode 5, because they just finished recording Episode 4, and that will be coming out soon as well. So follow that on iTunes, Stitcher, podcast.com, anywhere that you can listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for coming. Make sure you follow our producer as well at Jack_Malice on Twitter. We enjoy you guys coming, and we will see you soon, and you guys keep nerding on.
Carry on.
Later, guys.
Peace.